Our sermon text is from John 18 and 19. Brothers and sisters in Christ, today is the day that everything changed. It is no wonder that when we confess the creed, we jump straight from the incarnation of our Lord Jesus to his passion and cross. When the Blessed Virgin conceived and bore a son, God in human flesh, the world was filled in a way that it had never been filled before. In a similar way, the entire cosmos, the entire universe, groaned at the death of this God-man. Mark mentioned the temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. Matthew speaks of earthquakes shaking the earth, rocks splitting open, tombs opening, and bodies being raised from the dead. Luke speaks of darkness covering the whole land and the sun's light failing. And John records Jesus' last word, "It is finished," tetelestai. Nothing is the same. He who spoke creation into being now rests from his labor. God has died. As John tells the story of the cross, Jesus is never not running the show. Already in the garden, he says, "Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, 'Whom do you seek?' The cup he drinks is the one the Father appointed for him from eternity." His suffering and death don't come as a surprise. They're who he is for us. As he said to Pilate, "For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world." The cross is Jesus' glory. It's his crown and his throne. There, from the cross, from the lifeless body of him who is the life of the world, he reigns in glory. His kingdom is not of this world, and it certainly does not look like any kingdom we know. And yet, along with the centurion who confessed, "Truly this man was the Son of God," the whole universe gives testimony and praise at his death. As the earth begins to shake, rocks begin to split, tombs burst open, the sun does not give its light, but darkness covers the face of the earth, and the bodies of those who are dead are raised from the grave. For here on the cross, death is defeated. Here, Satan is cast down. Here, your sins are paid for in full. Not with gold, not with silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And here the whole world is reconciled to the Father and given back to him in the work and the words of Jesus on the cross. It is finished. Tetelestai. This is God's love for his creation. God loved the world in this way, St. John tells us, that he gave his only begotten Son to be high and lifted up upon the cross, that everyone who looks to Jesus, everyone who believes in him, has eternal life, and God will raise them up on the last day. Again, St. John proclaims, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a propitiation for our sins." And when that is the case, nothing is the same anymore. Everything is now seen through the love of God for us in Christ Jesus. That's what St. Paul meant when he said, "For the love of Christ controls us, compels us." It means that Christ's love surrounds us, fills us, drives us, encourages us, spurns us on, and makes us who we weren't before. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought love one another. Hence, if your neighbor slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if he would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if he forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. If he persecutes you, pray for him. If he hurts you or wrongs you, forgive him as the Lord has forgiven you. As Christ's chosen ones, holy and beloved, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, gentleness, self-control, bearing with one another in holy love. For a servant is not above his master. And as our Lord did for you, you also ought do for one another. So whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Christ's death brought an end to all death. He has taken the sting from death's fang and the poison from its bite, so that you might look upon your greatest enemy and say, O death, where is your victory? O grave, where is your sting? Death is no more. For the death he died once for all. And now we live. That is what makes Good Friday so good. God made this Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we would become the righteousness of God. The old has passed away. Today the new has come. In this Jesus, in the righteousness of God, we have nothing to fear. Not sin, not guilt, not shame, not the devil's accusations, not illness, not a virus, not a poor economy or harvest, not even the inability to pay our bills or the filling up of our pews in church. We have nothing to fear. For if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Things aren't the same anymore, nor can they be. For in Christ, God has reconciled the world to himself. So you, dear saints, be reconciled to God. Receive the love and mercy of God from the cross, the forgiveness of all your sins. We no longer regard Christ merely according to the flesh. And don't do it with your neighbor either. For each and every person is one for whom Jesus, this day, has suffered, bled, and died. And each of you is charged with divinity. You share in Christ. Your sins are forgiven. Your death is undone. Satan is bound, and you are free. So do not be afraid. Christ runs the show, and his love compels us. His love has its way with us, and so our love for others overflows. All of this is from God, who today proclaims to you, "It is finished." Amen.